Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning anyway, and welcome to Young Bucks. It's a very special episode here on DK Sports Radio. My name is Alex Stump. Right to my right, I am actually physically touching him right now, is Jared Krueger. We are finally doing one of these in person. I made the trip out to Altoona for the first game, and I saw Ronzi Contreras.
Listen, the first game didn't disappoint other than, the rain. We got our first rain delay in almost 2 years.
Yep.
We had strikeouts galore. We had a home run. We had a sack fly. We had everything that you could ask for in a baseball game all in one. And the team that had the most strikeouts on their pitching staff lost.
Yeah.
So baseball is weird. Baseball in the minor leagues is finally back. And that's what brings us here today. Listen, there is nothing better than small town America in minor league baseball. Getting to the ballpark, walking up to the park, having a burger, having food, seeing old friends, new friends, and Alex can attest to this when we walked around the park together today. It was so good to be back and to see familiar faces. And that's what makes this game in this league, in the minor leagues, so special.
Yeah, listeners, I knew Jared was a popular dude. I didn't know he was the most popular man in Altoona. Like, he could run for mayor if he so chose. Like, we couldn't go through a section without someone else coming by saying, "Hey, Jared." And Jared, being the nice guy that he is, he goes, he talks to them for a little bit, and I just go watch, in a bat.
It worked out. It was a social gathering for myself. But no, and that's what makes this ballpark, there are only 2,300 people here tonight. And 2,300 people got to see Ronzi Contreras just shove, man.
Yeah.
What he did, it was so impressive. Because Alex and I watched the last few of his innings on the kind of field level. And just seeing his stuff, man, he has a killer slider, a gnarly changeup, and his fastball was anywhere from 94 to 98. And when you get that, man, whoo, boy, that is tough to hit. Especially at this time of the season when players haven't hit off fly pitching in quite some time, especially under the lights.
I admit I am not the greatest at identifying pitches just with the naked eye. I really had a hard time today with Contreras' changeup and his slider because there was either cases of him varying the slider velocity or the changeup just had that much movement. Especially, against left-handers. It was something special. It was a special start from him. Jared brought up the fastball velocity. Look, scouting report I was given on this guy was that he would occasionally dial it up to 95, and now he's dialing it up to 97, 98. That's a completely different beast whenever you're talking about, what's this kid's ceiling in the major leagues. That's all. If you could hit 97, 98, a breaking pitch that moves, a changeup that you can rely on. Like, that's a guy you could put into a rotation. And honestly, my hot take, of course this is going to be based off of, just seeing him you know, for the first time. And yes, I know hitters are going to be behind pitchers, and, you know, maybe there should be a little bit of an asterisk next to it. If Contreras was in the Pirates bullpen today, he would fit it. I wouldn't flinch.
And I think the most impressive thing that stands out to me is just, like, the command that he had of all three pitches. Number one, he's already stretched out to five innings in about 75 to 80 pitches, which he got to, I believe, 80 pitches looking here at the box score, if I'm calculating things right. And of those 80 pitches, 55 of those were strikes, which is incredible.
Relentless.
So he was relentlessly attacking the zone. And, you know, there's a guy on the Bay Sox that was a number two, or that is one of the top prospects in baseball, in Adley Rutschman.
Yeah.
And he made him, on his last strikeout, he just made him absolutely look silly. Alex and I were standing along the first baseline, and Rutschman hits, was in left-handed batter's box. And I swear that he made eye contact with us. That's how far and how deceptive, like, he was. And that to me is what was impressive on the Contreras side, because Rutschman struck out three times. This is a dude that's a bona fide stud, right? This is a guy that's going to be in the major someday. And I thought that was a really good indicator of where Contreras is and where he has the potential to go.
Yeah. I mean, Rutschman's the best catching prospect in baseball. It's not a debate at all. And Contreras pulled the string on him, too. His last pitch of the game was a changeup. Just that fact alone, how many times do you see at AA a kid knowing that this is his last batter, it's a 3-2 count, what am I going to go with? I'm going to beat him with the changeup.
Yeah, and that's incredible too, but also, like, you're dealing with the elements tonight. So we had rain, we had humidity, we had anything that kind of worked against pitchers. And he just went out and just did his thing, and it was probably some of the most impressive pitching I've seen in this ballpark since Mitch Keller was on the mound in the Eastern League Championship Series in 2018. And that's saying something, because that was one of the most impressive outings I've seen of all time. Now, obviously, Mitch Keller is Mitch Keller, and things aren't quite the same. But that's just the realm of how impressive today was. Now, like we said, the elements played a factor. This is the first time these guys have played in a competitive game against other teams and almost 2 years for most of them. Now, that does play a factor. However, it was still impressive to go out there and have the performance that he did, despite the curve not being able to pull it out, even with setting a team record of 17 strikeouts.
You're not going to let that go. You're not going to let that go. See, I've just watched too much 2021 baseball in general. I'm just used to the strikeout records anymore. And yet, hitters are going to be behind pitchers, because pitchers, you know, they were able to throw. Hitters weren't able to, you know, a lot of them weren't able to face comparable pitching last year, except for, like, the instructional leagues, you know, especially whenever we get to, like, the AA level. So that maybe that taints a little bit this just amazing outing from Contreras. The one thing that isn't is how he attacked the zone. And if there is nothing else, just be fearless, going in there. And you know what? Miguel Perez, the manager of the Curve, at the end, I asked what made him so effective. The last time I asked a Curve manager that, Mike Ryan, I know that he's a popular person in some parts. I asked him what made the starting pitcher effective that day. And he said, well, you know, he got outs on three pitches or less. Today, the quote was, quote, attack the zone with your best stuff. Another quote, that's a trend you're going to see a lot this year about this Curve pitching staff. And, man, that tells the whole story, because Contreras did attack with his best stuff. And you know what? That's moving the fastball around the strike zone. That's knowing you can throw a breaking ball there. That's go for the kill instead of a quick out. That's what that was. Everything he did was basically against what the old regime was. And I told this to Jared. I'm going to go on the podcast with this. I am a little afraid that I just saw the best pitching performance I will for anybody in Pirates organization this year.
And it's very possible. But that's it. That's one heck of a way to start off the season. But what's great for this is they're attacking the zone, and they're attacking not just to attack. They're attacking with confidence, and they're attacking it with command. And when you're able to command your pitches with confidence, confidence is everything in the game of life, in the game of sports. And if you're not confident in your stuff, and if you're not confident in your abilities, you're going to get eaten alive. And for somebody like that to come out there and just pitch the way that he did with that command, that confidence, that was a great way to start the season, despite the loss. A loss is a loss. Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't anything of his doing. You come out of a rain delay and whatever. But that, I think, is going to just be the stepping stone and a foundation to build on for the rest of the season. And, you know, if he keeps pitching like that, it's very early. But he could very easily see his step up the ladder relatively quickly with more nights like tonight.
I'm not convinced he won't pitch in the major leagues this year. I think it's a very real possibility. Just out of what I saw this year, out of what I saw Tuesday night, and yeah, it's one starter, and that's a really about as small a sample size as you could possibly have. But I, yeah. Listeners of DK Sports Radio, I try not to gush over Rownings. I'm having a hard time not gushing about this. Like, everything about this outing just injected into my veins. This was about as perfect a night as a young 21-year-old starting pitcher could have. Just all three of the pitches in the zone, pitching with the confidence that Jared said, pitching just outrageous stuff. Amazing thing is, he might not even be the best pitcher the Pirates got in the Taillon trade.
No, and that's a good point, too. But at the same time, it wasn't just the curve that opened up today. Indy did as well, Bradenton. And another guy that was impressive today was Travis Swaggerty,
yeah.
who had a crazy night. Three hits, two RBIs, home run was a moonshot. You know, that's the type of stuff that we're getting. And I know it's been over 600 days since we've seen minor league baseball, but it's back. And this is what makes it fun, seeing these guys go out there. Travis Swaggerty, he's playing in his first AAA game. He didn't even play in AA last year. He was in Altoona at the alt site, but he goes up to AAA, boom, homer. And I think that's huge moving forward for the Pirates as well.
Why? Do they have an outfield situation going on right now?
No comment.
Yeah.
I don't even know that they have an outfield, to be honest with you.
They technically do. They did employ three people to play in the outfield on Tuesday night. Yeah. I mean, Swaggerty isn't ready yet. He needs some time in AAA, but he needs to be added to the roster this offseason anyway. It's got to be a midseason promotion. And you know what? He really impressed at the alternate site, and I can't help but shake this feeling that he might be a little closer than, you know, people really want to see or expect. I mean, Brian Reynolds came up after, what, a dozen games in AAA? If such a situation presented itself to Swaggerty, could we see the same?
At this point, what's it going to hurt? You know, you have Philip Evans bouncing around.
I mean, the thing that it would hurt is he's finally in a rhythm, and he talked about this in the media availability. He's found his strength, his swing. He's found that consistent stroke. And if you send him up to the major leagues and he isn't quite ready yet, you risk jeopardizing all the growth that he has made. I get that. So I'm not saying get him up to the majors right now. I'm saying if it's June 15th, maybe go for it. If he's still hitting like this, if he's still showing confidence at the plate, if he's still giving consistent swings, like, Pirates don't really have any outfielders set for 2022 besides Brian Reynolds.
No, and I got a question on Twitter today during the rain delay about what is the future of the outfield for the Pirates. And honestly, outside of Brian Reynolds, you know, Polanco,
it's wide open.
Yeah, it is wide open. And could you see Swaggerty there? Yes. Could you see Tucker there? Also, yes.
Maybe. Less Tucker, but yes.
Unless things have changed. But, you know, it's one of those situations where you just don't know. But they do have to figure it out. Let's go around the minors today. Because everybody was in action. Now, of course, the Indians were the only team in the minor league system to win tonight.
Uh-huh.
But let's go take a look at High A Greensboro, which nobody's really heard anything about other than, hey, Peguero and Gonzalez are there.
And Priester.
And Priester as well. So Peguero went 1-for-4 with 3 RBIs.
Three-run home run. Yep.
Walked once.
Priester didn't look good. I mean, I say look good. I've watched like only a handful of pitches from him because I was in Altoona. Stat line wasn't good. Growing. What more can you say?
Gonzalez, 1-for-4, had 2 strikeouts, left 2 on base, but he did work a walk.
He doubled.
Yes.
He showed what Nick Gonzalez is going to do. He's going to show some extra base power, and he's going to be patient at the plate. That's what Nick Gonzalez... There are going to be a lot of days where Nick Gonzalez goes 1-for-4 with a double and a walk. And you know what? That's a 400 OBP and 500 slugging percentage.
Right. And I think that's good moving forward as well. You know, you down the lineup, Triolo walked twice, struck out once, left 2 on base. Lolo Sanchez, you know, 1-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. So, I mean, it's game one. There's nothing really to worry about there as far as where teams are. I mean, it's day one. The Marauders moving down to Florida, where we all wish we could be in the hot sun and humidity.
Mojica murdered a baseball today.
Yeah, that was, I think, you know, that ball and bat could be arrested for assault with the way that went because it was just incredible. So, I mean, you look at that, and it's just going to be one of those things. Like, who's going to be able to adjust to this level, to those levels earliest? And you know, the team in Greensboro is very talented. The team in Bradenton, I think, is under the radar talented as well. And I think that's going to be something to pay attention to moving forward is down the road.
Bradenton's going to be interesting once Brennan Malone gets going, once Nick Garcia gets going, once if Mojica keeps going. Like, there are a lot of young players there. I can't remember. I had 2 or 3 players for my breakout, you know, prospect list that were in Bradenton. I know I had Mojica. I know I had Nick Garcia. That'd be it because Burroughs is in he's in Greensboro.
Yeah, Mojica's home run was a
it was stupid.
Was
like,
a shot.
Like, this kid is 18 years old, and he probably has, like, anyone from top of the majors to the absolute bottom, he probably is, like, the 5th most raw power right now.
Right.
Like, you put him up against Cruz, Mason Martin, Greg, like, maybe Hayes.
Yeah.
Who else? Like,
a great night on the diamond for Andy Rodriguez, 2-for-4 with an RBI.
The catching prospect.
Yeah. Head went 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. But, you know, like we said, it's day one. It's day one after a year where some of these guys, especially at that level, haven't played minor league baseball. And Gonzalez, that's his first minor league game.
Yeah.
So that's crazy too. So the season has started, the wheels are turning, and the coaster's running to kind of put an Altoona feel on it. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here.
I didn't see the coaster run.
You're right.
It was raining for me today.
It was very rainy. I don't know that it was running either, but I like to say that it was. Just for aesthetics.
I just called you out live on the podcast.
Yeah,
it doesn't come out live.
You know, if you guys can hear our background noise, I just punched Alex really hard in the chest. And he took it like a champ. But it's great to see fans back in the ballpark. Governor Wolf today said that the goal is by May 31st, or not the goal is, but May 31st mitigation efforts will be over. So Altoona can be at full capacity. Ballparks around the country can be at full capacity. Or ballparks around the state, I should say, can be at full capacity. That's going to be huge. Because these guys feed off of it. Because as much as we want to say, hey, it was great for the fans to be here, it's great for the players to see the fans as well.
This is fun. I didn't know exactly how much I needed minor league baseball back into my life. Like, I know I've said it a whole lot. But then whenever you actually get there, it's like, no, I actually needed it even more. So this was good. This was a good day.
It was a great day. It's always great when you get to go to a ballpark, and it was just like riding a bike. You get to see old friends, new friends, and new faces, old faces, and everything in between. And that's what makes minor league baseball great, and that's what makes this opportunity that we have here to tell you about it and tell you their stories even better.
I hope you enjoyed this very impromptu Young Bucks. Impromptu being that we're doing this actually in right outside the Cubs press box. There's a little bit of an echo. You might have heard some cars or some doors closing. We apologize for that, but we wanted to really just get this up for you tomorrow because there was a whole lot that happened in the farm system. I had to gush about Contreras. I'm sorry. I'm going to really try not to do so much, you know, of that whenever I make these trips and I see these pitchers, but I do think I might have just seen the best pitch performance at any. That's how I'll give myself a little wiggle room here. Any Pirates minor leaguer is going to make this year. It was absolutely fantastic. Be sure to follow DK Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts. Jared, where are we on now?
Where are we on now? We're all over the place, man.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, I think somewhere. I saw my name pop up on Amazon. Thought that was kind of weird. But
someone bought you.
So, yeah, somebody bought me. They haven't paid me much money yet. But you can follow us on the Twitter, on everything. We're going to have plenty of Pirates coverage, but also Pirates minor league coverage. And to be perfectly honest, there's not going to be an outlet involved with the Pirates. It's going to cover it the way that we will. As far as features and day-to-day prospect stuff, this is your source throughout the Pirates organization for your Pirates prospects.
Thank you so much for listening. We're going to be on Saturday also. This is just a nice bonus. Thank you. We'll talk again next time.